So the next speaker is Thorsten Horsten from University of Zurich, and he's going to talk about most likely transformation.
Thank you, Julie. Most speakers at this conference introduced software that was designed to make your life easier. I'm going to talk about software that makes your life harder. Yet more interesting, as I hope to convince you. So I guess all of you are aware that in our models and data are strongly tied together. So you can't have a model, at least not on a very high level setup, a model without data. So we specify the model, we have the formula, and immediately we are requesting the data. And this is because of the principles laid down in the white book. Well, these principles certainly stood the test of time and have been used millions of times, and are used millions of times every day. But sometimes it's hard to do things with these. For example, we are not able to compute on abstract models. So we don't have the data yet, but we want to play around with the model. So we can't really simulate from complex unfitted models. And it's also hard to set up the likelihood when you don't have the data. In addition, it's occasionally hard to specify and to compare and to analyze complex models in a unified way. And complex here, my working definition of complexity is that just structuring a linear predictor is just not enough. So there is some hope that we can do something about this when we succeed in understanding many models we are interested in, for example, the one listed here, as members of a unified class. And I'm going to give you an idea of how this could work. So how can we understand a linear model and a Cox proportional hazard model as being the same thing? Well, you're probably used to look at a linear model as depicted in the first line. This is the classical textbook setup. It's actually more interesting to look at the same model from the perspective not of the mean, but of the conditional distribution function. And when we reparametrize this conditional distribution function a little bit, we see that the structure of the model is as follows. We have a transformation of our response, and then we have a shift term that comes from the linear predictor, that is defined by the linear predictor, and the whole thing is then mapped into a probability by some distribution function. And we are now going to change the normal distribution function to a minimum extreme value distribution function, and we are going to change a linear transformation into something that can be an arbitrary function, and then we end up with the Cox model. So from this point of view, the Cox model and the linear model are really the same thing. And we can do other changes, so we can just pick this distribution function, different distribution function, we can pick a different transformation function, and we generate all linear transformation models. We can go even further and allow more complex transformation functions of the form that the transformation of some of our response depends on one or more of the explanatory variables in a more complex way. And in order for such models to be useful and manageable, we have to parameterize this transformation function. This we do by a basis function that depends on both the both the response and the explanatory variables. And the nice thing about this model is that the model defined by this distribution function, by the basis function, its parameters, it's fully parametric. So there are no nuisance parameters. And we call this a class of models conditional transformation models. So why is it helpful to use this class of models? So they are very general from two perspectives. The first one is we can generate actually all distribution functions from some known distribution here and a corresponding transformation function. So we are not limited to specific distributions. And when we come up with suitable parameterizations of the transformation function, we really preserve much of this generality also in practice. And the second one is we can define or derive the exact likelihood for intervals, and we will always observe intervals, just by evaluating the model. This is just an evaluation of the model. And this formulation of the likelihood is actually the likelihood that was used and introduced and defined by Fisher in 1922. It's always defined, that's nice, and it's always a probability, and there's really an eye-opening paper by Lindsay in 1999 that explains why this is the case. Further, it is possible to handle discrete responses, it's possible to handle all forms of random censoring and of truncation. And in case you insist of using an approximation instead of the real, the exact likelihood, if you have a precise datum available, you can still use the density. This is just density transformation. And this is what LM always does. Okay. So we have a model. We have a likelihood. So we have a likelihood estimator. Okay, so we're just maximizing likelihood. We get the parameters out. And then we use the plug-in principle to compute what I call the most likely transformation. So we just compute the product of the basis function and the estimated parameters. And once we have the transformation function, we also have the conditional distribution of our response we're interested in. Now, how can we implement something like this? The theory suggests that we need basically three ingredients. The first one is we have to specify the model. And we specify the model using this function CTM in the MLT package. The second one is we have to set up the likelihood and then maximize the likelihood. And this is kept separately here. So the model can live without the data. Okay, the MLT estimator, most likely transformation estimator, is implemented in the MLT function. And once we have the model, we can do something with it. For example, evaluating the transformation function, distribution function, density function, quantile function, whatever you want. And because this is a fully parametric model, we can simulate from this model. And then we can look at the variability of the estimates. So here's an example from unconditional density estimation. I couldn't resist using the Old Faithful data. Here we have a model where the transformation function is parametrized in terms of an 8-degree Bernstein polynomial basis, and we have the standard normal over here. As you will see in a minute, the standard normal has nothing to do with the normal assumption on our response. Now, so why is your life harder? Your life is hard because you have to define what the variable is in an abstract sense you're going to analyze. You have to set up the basis function in an abstract fashion, and only then you can define the model. And the data enters into play only in the very last step here when we use the model and the data to set up the likelihood function and to estimate the data. To estimate the parameters. Okay, so we now can simulate from this model and refit the model, and this is essentially the parametric bootstrap. So the remarkable feature about this picture, so you see what you expected to see, this nice bimodal density. So the remarkable feature here is that this picture looks like we are in the non-parametric world. But the underlying machinery is completely parametric, and we are just using maximum likelihood estimator. And this is something I have a really hard time to convince any referee of. So how can we design more complex models? All of this lies in the definition of the basis function. So there's an additional package called BaseFun that allows you to construct and to compute on basis functions. And the two most important operations for basis functions that you need is you need to be able to combine them column-wise, and you need to be able to multiply them by a row-wise tensor product. And then you have model matrix and predict methods that implement efficient evaluation of these things. Okay, so once you have the basis function, you can set up any model you want in this framework using the CTM function. So we always need a transformation of the response, and we might have basis functions that interact with the response and basis functions that just contribute the shift term. And this is basically what defines the models here. In an unconditional case, we just have the transformation of the response. A linear transformation model is characterized by transformation of the response and the shift term. And interacting terms are necessary for stratified linear transformation models, things that the econometricians call distribution regression or arbitrary conditional transformation models. So here's another example from survival analysis. In survival analysis, it's natural to use the minimum extreme value distribution for this distribution function. And in this simple case, I just have a linear transformation function that consists of transformation of time and a parameter that gives us the treatment effect. And this is the transformation function in this, spelled out in more detail in this model. The first part here is the cumulative log cumulative baseline hazard function. And the parameter beta is the log hazard ratio. Okay, so we can set up an accelerated failure time model now by using a specific basis function for the response. And this, in this case, is just an intercept and a log transformation of time. Okay, we repeat the exercise, we define the response, our time variable, we define the treatment, we define basis functions for both the response and our treatment, and then we set up the model. Transformation of the response, a shift term consists just of one parameter, and then the minimum extreme value distribution. Okay, so we have an unfitted accelerated failure time model. Unfitted means we don't have coefficients yet. What you can do is you can assign this model some coefficients. And in this case, I used a 1 for the log transformation. That means I have an accelerated failure time model, exponential accelerated failure time model. And then I have a fully specified model, and I can add some data to this model, but tell the function not to fit the parameters, but to use these parameters, and then I can evaluate the likelihood. Okay? So I have a fully specified model. I can simulate from this model. So I just take the model, simulate from this, refit the model, and then I get a parametric bootstrap sample from the parameters. Or I could take my data seriously and let the data decide what the parameters should be. So I let the model fit the data. And of course, I get other another set of parameters, in this time a non-unity scaling of the log. So this is a viable accelerated failure time model. I get the likelihood function. I get variance, covariance estimates of its parameters. Or I could go one step further and say, I have no idea how the baseline transformation function actually looks like, so I want to have it, I want to give it some freedom. And the freedom could be, for example, 10-degree Bernstein polynomial or the combination of log transformation and the 10-degree Bernstein polynomial. And the only thing I have to change is the basis function. So I set up a new basis function over here, plug it there, and I get the new model. So in the Cox model, one of the most important questions is, does proportional hazards hold? Now, you don't have to fiddle around with funny-looking residuals here. What you do is you allow the treatment effect to vary with time. And the only thing that needs to be changed here is to allow for an interaction between the treatment and your response. And this gives you a model fit that's exactly equivalent to two separate Kaplan-Meier estimators. So this is, again, very non-parametric looking, although it is parametric. And then you get this deviation function that tells you how sensitive the treatment is actually to time. And in this case, we are lucky because this is more or less of a constant, so we have proportional hazards. Or we could look at more complex models, for example, for answering the question, what is the prognostic and predictive property, what are the prognostic and predictive properties of age? And we set up a model where age and treatment and time interact. So we allow for treatment-specific transformation functions giving time, where for each treatment the survival function varies smoothly with age. And here this B function for the row-wise tensor products comes into play. So we have a smooth function of age, we have our treatment, these interact together, and then they interact with time. And what we see is that without hormonal treatment, young patients die extremely fast. And under treatment, the survival time is prolonged significantly. But then for older patients, the effect is no longer that strong. Okay, so this is something you can't see from an ordinary Cox model. Okay, so so when I wrote this package, I came up with more or less 100,000 lines of R code to, just 1,000 lines of R code to fit all the models I mentioned and more with. And I was in a very fortunate position because I could use all the packages in CRAN that implement the same models to check what I did. And now you could say, okay, can we throw away the survival package? Well, that wouldn't be a good idea. But what you can do is you can fit certain models that are not in the survival package, for example, a Cox model under interval censoring with this new technology. And by the way, one of the packages that are listed here has been archived in CRAN in the meantime as a result of this exercise. I'm not going to tell you what. Okay, so let me sum up. Once you understood all the models you're interested in, or many of the models you're interested in, as being member of a unified class and have an implementation of this unified class available, it's very easy to play around with this stuff. So many important models are contained in this framework. The implementation is extremely straightforward. So I'm using a standard optimizer from the BP, from the BB package here. And it's extremely easy to invent new models because the only thing that you have to do is to come up with new basis functions or your new combinations of existing basis functions, and then you have a new model. Also important is that the parametric bootstrap in the whole model class is extremely easy. So there's the simulate function. You can simulate from all these models, for example, from a Cox model. And maybe the most important point is that I find it very helpful to introduce regression models from a strongly from the perspective of the distribution functions. So I moved away from introducing a regression model as a model for a conditional mean. I introduce a regression model as a model for conditional distribution. And this really helps to make clear what the connections between the different models actually are. And after all, this exercise might make your life easier in this perspective. Thank you very much.
We have time for questions.
One of the motivations for the way things were set up in the white book was to encourage people to question their models, to ask what's wrong, what does the data say that the model is failing to say? That's, you know, residual plots and all that kind of boring stuff. You've kind of pushed the data into the basement here, and how would you suggest to teach people to not trust their models?
Yes. So I have a completely different perspective on this, because the classical setup is you start with a simple model and you try to find out if the model is wrong in the residuals. This is essentially what you're doing. And here I say you should not start with a simple model yet, but you should start with a more complex model. For example, time-varying effects in the Cox model. And then you should try to shrink this more complex model to a simpler one. Because what we at the end of the day want to have is a model that is as simple as possible. So these are really two different perspectives. Nowadays, this is something that we just weren't able to do 25 years ago. Nowadays, we were able to fit much more complex models. And when I have a complex model and a simple model that do the same thing, that have more or less the same likelihood, that are comparable, then I know I'm safe to use the simpler model.
Hi, very interesting talk. I was just wondering if you have ever considered adding L1 or L2 regularization to your framework?
Well, you're welcome to do so. Yes, I did. It's actually, from a theoretical perspective, this is extremely straightforward to do. So implementing this stuff is a little harder, but yes.
Other questions? Yes.
Thanks. How does comparison of nested models work? I'm sure you have done something there.
So which type of model?
What is a nested model in your framework? So can you compare models with each other?
Yeah, the theory is extremely simple because you stay in this likelihood framework. Everything that's defined in the likelihood world can be done.
Last question. Okay, so I think we can thank all the speakers of the session.